Hi and welcome to The Chat. My name is Leah Summerglue. Each week on The Chat, we shine a light on the lives and careers of UTS alumni here at the 2SER studios. My guest today is PhD candidate Morgan Philp, whose area of study is in forensic chemistry. Recently, Morgan developed a new way of testing synthetic psychoactive drugs that will change the way the police will be able to work at drug busts. Let's have a listen. Let's start with, I guess, your childhood growing up. I noticed that you loved watching a lot of crime investigation shows. Do you think that's why you got into forensic science?
I think definitely that had a huge impact on where I ended up being in forensic science, because I originally started off doing an advanced science degree and then found out, realised that I really wanted to do forensic science where you can immediately see the application of the science. And I had an interest from when I used to watch all of those shows on TV.
Which one was your favourite show?
We used to have, I'm from a country town, so we had Ozstar, not quite Foxtel. And I used to watch a lot of the crime channels on there. So it was just nonstop, 24/7. You could watch any crime show you wanted.
So that was like, were they sort of based on real, actual crimes that occurred?
Yeah.
And then they talk about the, and then they talk about the application of how then they found the person to be guilty?
Definitely,
yeah. Forensics?
So I actually never watched any of the, NCIS. I've never really watched any of those. Fictional ones, yep. But I watched the real crime ones where it was a real perpetrator and they were trying to discover through their forensic investigation what happened.
And going like to high school, which of the sciences was your favourite?
So because I come from small country towns, I moved around a few times.
Yep.
So my towns were really small and so were the science classes. So often you would choose to do a science. So like physics, which is what I would choose, but I wouldn't get it because there'd only be two people that chose the subject. Yeah, so I actually ended up doing chemistry and biology in my sciences, yeah.
And when you first got into chemistry, what was it about that you found interesting?
I think with chemistry and all the sciences, for me, it just made so much more sense. Like everything, even the periodic table, it's all aligned perfectly. Everything just makes so much more sense and it's easier for me to see how that's used rather than, so with other subjects like English, I wasn't so good at because it just wasn't as clear for me, the answers.
Do you have like people in your family that are like that as well, that are sort of science minded?
Definitely. So my mum's a physics teacher. Yeah. So she's a high school physics teacher and my brother is also very science minded. So he's an engineer.
Nice. And where did you predominantly grow up? I know you said you moved from country town to country town, but yeah, where did you stay the longest?
So I was actually born in Newcastle, but I have no memory from Newcastle because I moved straight away to a town called Burrawa, which is near Young. So it's all country New South Wales towns. And I was in Burrawa until age 9, around that age. And then I moved to Balranald, which is another country town near Victoria. And then I moved to Gloucester, which is a slightly bigger town north of Newcastle. Yeah.
And why did you move around, if you don't mind me asking?
It was more from my mum was a physics teacher and she would just take the physics teaching jobs that no one wanted in random country towns. And so we just went along for the ride, I guess.
What made you then after high school? So did you move to Sydney yourself on your own?
I did. Yeah. So when I was 18, I moved to Sydney, didn't know anyone in Sydney. Actually the first day of university, I actually went to UNSW for 1 year before coming to UTS. And my mum had to take me on a practice route to catch a bus because I'd never caught a bus before.
Of course.
So we had to do a group bus catch and see how I'd get to uni. But now I'm okay at catching buses.
How did you find the city after living in small towns for most of your life?
To be honest, I loved it. Yeah. It's just so interesting. There's so much more going on and it's just so much more lively. Like in country towns, you've obviously got to make your own fun, do your own things.
Now, this is going to seem like a very obvious question, but, what made you want to study science? So you said you started studying advanced science.
Yeah.
Was that the one at UNSW first?
Yes.
And how does that differ then to forensic science?
So basically in the advanced science degree, it just gives you a general science degree that you could then use anywhere. Like you could go down a chemistry route, you could go whatever major you wanted to do. But after doing that for a year, I soon realized that I really did want to go back to that forensic science. I've always had an interest in it, but University of New South Wales didn't offer that degree.
Yeah.
So I made the switch and I came to UTS in the following year and started the forensic science degree. So it was a Bachelor of Forensic Science in Applied Chemistry. So it was, still had that chemistry aspect and then incorporating it into forensics.
That's so interesting that, yeah, forensic science is offered for people like me who didn't do very well in science in high school. What is forensic science and how can it be applied in the real world before we get to what you're doing right now? Like, what are some of the general things that people can do with forensic science?
So the forensic science, it's basically there's a number of different disciplines you could look at. So that, you know, we could look at the chemistry route of things where you're looking at something like maybe drug detection, which is what I do, or you could be looking at explosives or gunshot residues, trace elements, so looking at glass fibres. So there's a lot of laboratory-based things or services that you can do. But then there's also the field aspect as well. So crime scene investigation, that's still using forensic science principles. So that would be things like fingerprinting and other crime scene analysis. And there's also forensic medicine, so, you know, pathology, working out how people died, which is more of a biological aspect. I prefer the chemistry, obviously.
What is it about crime that interests you so much?
I guess I just like solving problems. That's what it comes down to. And I think with a lot of forensic science, it is about solving problems and finding, because a lot of these problems are, you know, public health problems or global issues. And using forensic science, you can help to solve these problems on a bigger scale rather than just solving one particular case, like in a courtroom. You can solve much larger problems.
Of course. What did you learn from this course and how did you apply it?
Well, actually, I didn't see myself, because at the moment I'm involved in illicit drugs and the chemistry behind that. And I hadn't really seen myself going down that route. I just knew I wanted to be in forensic science. Mm. And I pictured things like, you know, blood spatter and fingerprinting and all those things that you see when you watch these crime shows. And I never really thought of the chemistry part of things, which I am more interested in, but didn't think that would apply in forensic science as much. And I was completely wrong, obviously.
That's great. And you got first class honours and you also received the university medal. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
How did it feel when you found out that you're getting the uni medal?
To be honest, I had no idea that it was, you know, such a good, like a big honour to receive that university medal. Very, very proud of it. And I did work really hard in my honours year, so I guess that hard work did pay off.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what made you want to continue studying into honours and now your PhD?
Well, I completed my honours and then I took a year off and I went overseas, worked in London doing various things. And it was during that time I published a paper with my supervisor on my research. And it was sort of an indication that I should apply to do a PhD the following year and come back to UTS.
On this particular research?
Yeah. So it's sort of a continuation of my honours work, because my honours work went really well, and so it would be a good idea to continue that research.
Okay, let's get to the point. What is your PhD research? How far are you in?
So I'll be submitting, it's June next year.
Oh, so great. You're almost there.
Yeah, yep. So basically I look at the presumptive testing of new psychoactive substances and developing new tests. So I should probably go through what new psychoactive substances are. So the name sounds scary, but it's actually what you may have heard called designer drugs or legal highs. The proper name is new psychoactive substances. Yep. And these are drugs that are different from your classical drugs like heroin, MDMA, methamphetamine. And they're not necessarily brand new, never seen before. They're just newly misused. And so a lot of people are abusing these substances. And so they're not scheduled under United Nations drug conventions. So that's why they are called new psychoactive drugs. Yeah.
And that's stuff that we've seen, like, in the media, say, like, bath salts or synthetic MDMA, that sort of thing. That before, definitely. Before, like, maybe a few years ago, people were able to buy legally. Is that correct?
Yeah. So because they weren't under any legislation, they weren't listed. So the way the legislation works is if it has to be listed in your country's legislation in order for it to be illegal. And because these substances had never been abused before, they weren't actually listed in the legislation. So people could use them technically legally. And so people were using them and people were selling them and buying them legally.
And how do they differ then to your traditional illegal drugs, these synthetic drugs?
It's more just in the chemical structure. So a lot of the ones I work on are very close to amphetamines. In fact, the only difference is an oxygen group. So an wow. oxygen atom, yeah. A lot of them are similar in that regard to the structure, but then a lot of the synthetic cannabinoids, which has been called spice, it's normally sold as spice, they have a similar effect to your cannabis. Yeah. And so the structure is completely different, but it has a very similar effect. So whether it has a similar effect or a similar structure to current drugs, that's what the new psychoactive substances are.
And are they also made with more sort of non-natural, I guess, non-traditional forms of or materials, I guess?
Yeah.
Are they more household materials or are they more...
So basically...
Science.
So a lot of the classical drugs, I mean, so like cocaine, heroin, they come from a natural substance initially. But a lot of the new psychoactive substances, we have natural ones of those as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily more synthetic because there are natural plants that you can create these drugs from as well. Made from very similar, so I would say a very similar approach to making your regular drugs. There's no difference in the synthetic preparation. But it's more that the effects have not been studied and we don't know very much about these drugs at all.
Yeah, there have been devastating effects. What have you noticed that these sort of synthetic drugs have done to people and their bodies in your research?
So a lot of these substances are very potent, which means basically you only need a very small amount and that will give you the high. And so a lot of these substances are sold as the classic or traditional drugs and people don't know that they're so potent, so they will easily overdose or take too much of these substances. And obviously then that will have your catastrophic effects and you see a lot of hospitalizations, which is where we first encounter a lot of these drugs is in the emergency room.
And is that down to the manufacturers, the people that are making them? Are they making them just like sort of in backyard labs? Is that what you've found?
A lot of them are synthesized in China or India.
So
they come from overseas, but they're not necessarily impure or filled with other substances. It's just that chemical itself has a devastating effect on a lot of people.
And what made you interested in looking at these drugs? Was it like reading those media stories a few years back or?
So for me, it was more you could see that there was a hole in research being done. So there's a lot of these new drugs coming out. We're seeing a lot of hospitalizations. Mm. We aren't able to detect them, which is the point or the view I came from. So people that are working in labs that detect these drugs, if they don't know what they're looking for, they can't actually detect that drug. So for me, it was more about, are we able to find new ways to detect these new substances?
And to do that, before we get to the actual testing, to do that, you have then, before you get to these tests, you've had to break down all the chemical compounds of each drug and what they might have in them?
Yeah, so a lot of the drugs, they have a similar structure, but they do differ slightly.
Yep.
And so basically how I work is looking at that molecular structure and figuring out which functional groups I can use or target in my chemical reactions. So that way my reaction only happens on that specific drug and not traditional drugs like methamphetamine or other drugs that are out there.
So how does this testing work?
So yeah, it's basically, firstly, I need to have drugs to work with. So yep. I synthesize a lot of my drugs and then we keep them in a safe. We have the license to synthesize these. And once I have several drugs that I can test on, I usually apply different reagents and different buffer solutions to try and target typically that oxygen atom I was talking about,
yep.
That makes it different from amphetamines. And by doing so, I'm hoping to create a coloured reaction, so that way you can visualise if there is a drug present.
And you've got how many different colours now have you come up with, like results in different combinations?
So basically I've got two tests that work on developing a colour change with the drugs, and these are working on two different drug classes. So the first one is the piperazine analogues and the second one is synthetic cathinones. So these are the two tests that will detect only those two classes. So you shouldn't see a colour change with any other drug class except for those two.
And will that, are you looking to expand that then to look at other different types?
Yes. So in addition to expanding it as in different drug classes, I've also been looking at different ways to detect rather than using chemical reagents. So using different ways of sensing or detecting these molecules.
Will this test be able to be used in the field, like at drug busts or even music festivals down the track?
And that would be the idea with these presumptive tests, particularly because a lot of these cathinone substances are being sold as your amphetamines. So a lot of people may not know, but they are actually ingesting or taking a lot of these cathinones. So if you could do testing in the field and you would be able to determine whether there are cathinones present, would be ideal. So actually at the moment we're working on developing a test device to detect these compounds in the field rather than in a laboratory using these well plates that we currently do the testing on.
And how closely are you working with the police at the moment? Can you tell me that?
So the AFP have been really helpful actually. So they allow me to go to their lab in the city and do testing on a range of their illicit substances they have there. So that way I can get a selectivity, or basically a method validation of my test, to see whether it does react with all the other drugs or not. So it's been really helpful having them as a partner in this colour test development.
Why do you think it's important to be able to test drugs this way?
So basically if you find a white powder on a person at a scene, there's the quickest way to tell what that powder might be is to do a presumptive test right there and then. And then that way you can do things like make arrests or search warrants based on the results of that colour test. If you don't have a test that will react with these compounds, then you'll have to wait up to months maybe for a result from a lab to tell you what that drug was. I mean, all of the tests that you do in the field then have to be confirmed in the lab, but at least you have an immediate potential, or you have some idea what that drug may be or that powder.
What will the implications for this test be in the future? Where do you see it going?
So the idea would be for it to be used in the field, and like you said, so whether it be by police personnel or at border security, so things where there are a lot of white powders coming past that you could test for. And again, it would be to expand the range, so not just have two drug classes that are being tested for, but have a whole suite of drugs that are tested in the one test device.
With that, are synthetic drugs sort of growing as well? Like, are you finding new and new different types of products out there every year?
Yeah, we are.
So really?
Yeah, I know, it's scary. So to date, we have over 640 new drugs.
Wow.
So you probably don't even know any of those. They're all new psychoactive substances that have been seen around the world. So that's around the world, not just Australia. But in saying that, actually, a lot of Europe and USA, they see a lot more of the drugs than we do here in Australia. We're a bit more isolated. But they do get to us eventually. And so it's really handy for us because we can see what's coming in that sense. But yeah, there's lots of new drugs being developed each year.
Like what?
Typically, there's a lot of the new synthetic cannabinoids. That is a very large class that covers whole different types of drugs themselves. So each year you'll see new drugs being added to that class.
And are cannabinoids, they sort of more mimic cannabis? Is that correct?
Spot on, yeah. So they look nothing like the structure of THC, but they have the same effect. So they act on the same receptors. So in that way, yeah, they mimic the effects of cannabis.
And these drugs, I mean, like, how do they, what sort of form do they come in? Are they like pills or are they powder?
It's very varied. So a lot of the piperazines were typically came in pill form. Mm-hmm. So BZP, very popular in New Zealand in the 90s. The synthetic cannabinoids actually come as more of a plant material to make it look like cannabis. So it looks nice and healthy, natural. You think, oh yeah, I can take this because it's just plant. But what they've actually done is they've just grabbed any old plant and sprayed it with the drug. So they dissolve the drug in solution and then spray the plant. So it's nowhere near natural.
And with your research, I guess, into illegal drugs, obviously these synthetic drugs are a lot worse than the traditional illegal drugs that have been, you know, around for decades, years.
So I think with these new drugs, it's more the fact we don't really know. We haven't done any studies on a lot of these drugs. The more traditional ones that you are speaking about, we've known of those for years, as you said. And so we know the effects. So, for example, heroin, we have scheduled that drug because we know of its addictive potential. We know that it what effects it has on the body, and that is why we have scheduled that drug.
And are they a little bit more stable than the effects of those traditional drugs rather than these new ones as well?
Yeah, it's more that we know what it will do. I mean, obviously, heroin is nowhere near safe, and that is why it is scheduled. But with these new drugs, we have no idea of the short-term or long-term effects.
And with this drug test that you have come up with, would you like to see it sort of a bit more attenuated to be able to detect purity levels in the future? Because right now, you can only just detect those certain compounds.
Yeah, the presence.
Is that where you'd like to go?
That would be a really good idea, to be able to detect purity. And again, that's when your drug policy would come in and you would do testing of pills or something at festivals. But at the moment for colour testing, it's not really possible to indicate purity using the colour testing. You do see differences in the level of drug present as to, you know, the colour that is there and how light or dark the colour is. But it's not accurate enough to predict purity in a pill or powder sample.
Do you think it'd be possible, like, later on down the track?
If you were using a different technique, I think so, but I think you would have to move away from colour testing. It's too qualitative of a test to use for such a quantitative approach.
And what would you like to do after you finished your PhD?
Good question.
Next year, are you going to... Firstly, you'll probably take a break, but are you planning on staying sort of in the academic world, or are you thinking about working in, like, forensic labs? Sort of thing?
I think about this quite often. So I originally had big plans, to sort of go into sort of the Australian Federal Police sort of area and working in illicit drug detection. But the more I'm in the research field, I think I really like doing the research and discovering or answering new problems that are coming up each year. So I think I would end up staying in academia, but to be honest, I don't really know.
You've still got a year to decide. And you sort of touched on this before, with the drugs being manufactured, say, in China and India, who are these people that are manufacturing? Are you kind of trying to stay one step ahead of... Are these people also scientists who are manufacturing these synthetic drugs?
They would have to be, yeah. So they know the rules and they know the legislation. So they're trying to get around it by... They must be very good organic chemists doing all the synthesis. But one thing is, with our legislation, it is now changed. So obviously these drugs, not in all countries though, so it's only specific countries. So in Australia we have where we control all the different... If the structure is similar, then it is classed as being illegal to those classical drugs.
Well, thank you so much, Morgan, for talking to me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That was PhD candidate Morgan Philp in forensic chemistry. That's all for the chat this week. If you like the show, you can subscribe to our podcast via SoundCloud or iTunes, or from our website, which is 2ser.com/thechat. The show is produced with the support of the University of Technology Sydney and 2SER 107.3. I'm Leah Summerglue, and I'll catch you next week.